Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Big Trendinator Surge Pricing.
Oh, no.
They're surge pricing the Baconator.
No.
Or the Big Trendinator. Sounds like a play on Ralph Nader. The way I pronounced it. I'm Jack. That over there. Well, that is Mr. Miles Gray.
Yep, young Nader.
This is the episode of the Daily Zeitgeist where we tell you what is trending this afternoon.
Yes.
Tuesday, February 27th.
Yep. One more day after this, huh?
One more day, man. This
finally
is
finally out of February.
Finally out of February. Woo! The second to last day of February where
love
I just
it.
Get ready for March. Get ready to get loose. There's no way.
Brian, the editor, is saying what?
It's a leap day this year.
Nah. That's just like your opinion, man.
That's like, what are you also a flat earther? Oh, there's one day every four years that has an extra day in February.
You're watching too much 29th? Quantum Leap, man.
Okay.
That's why. Yeah.
That's right. This guy
only leap year I'm having is because I'm watching so much Quantum Leap this year.
Quantum leap year.
It's a leap year, bro. Just gotta
only
get
leap
the
year that I pay attention to.
Man. So anyway, what now?
This is one of those stories that's like should feel light. It's like we like to check in with the world of fast food, see what's going on with fast food companies, see what like depressing gimmicks they've introduced for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's is going to introduce surge pricing. And I heard that and like I got a very dark glimpse of the future.
Yeah.
This was like, no. This is going to be fucking everywhere.
Yeah. So we're saying it's like a Uber type thing where like, hey man, a lot of people are trying to leave this concert as you. So it's like we're gonna have to throw like 15% on top of this right now because of the surge.
The only people coming in here after midnight are drunk. And they're going to be willing to spend $100 on a Baconator. So the prices are just going to be fluid.
Dynamic pricing, as the CEO said.
Yeah.
As early as next year.
Call.
Yeah.
So they're investing in $20 million in digital menu boards that will allow the prices to easily algorithmically change throughout the day, which surge pricing was employed by companies like Uber and Ticketmaster. And really, what company wouldn't love to show the public that they're becoming more like Ticketmaster?
Our beloved Ticketmaster, our beloved ticket gouger.
We've gotten rid of Where's the Beef as our slogan. We are now Wendy's, more like Ticketmaster than you think.
It's not, Wendy's, not Where's the Beef. It's Wendy's, we want the fucking smoke.
Yeah, that's right.
And which is what it's going to be. I like how AI has even propped up in this dumb fucking story. It says the new quote AI enabled menu changes.
Yeah,
that's not fucking your fucking greed is AI enabled. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
Will allow for new suggestive selling based on factors such as weather. So I guess like if it's raining, they'll just be like, hey, we don't have ice cream because all the ice cream places are closed when it's raining. You right. know, everyone knows that's too cold for ice cream.
Yeah.
And I got doubles of the Barracuda, the Daytona, that's Corvette.
True. Some days it's just too cold for ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we got that broccoli cheddar soup for you to yeah. warm up your
this
soul.
This is a weather balloon thing. Cause
yeah.
one thing we're already in a fucking era where you blink and then you're like, wait, did they just raise the price on that?
Yeah.
But to now be in a place where it's like, dude, this shit could cost one thing at 8 a.m. and another at fucking 1 p.m.
Yes.
That's not anything a consumer wants. You want consistency. You know what I mean?
And yet, so,
yeah,
I think here it's going to work. Like, I do think it's going to work for Wendy's. It's not going to work. Like, it's not going to serve us well, but that is not what capitalism aims to do anymore. They aim to extract every cent possible from you while like not causing you to, you know, throw something through the front window of the Wendy's.
And, right.
you know, so like, I feel like this, I think the reason this gave me such a sinking feeling is I was like, oh yeah, of course, this is the inevitable future that like you'll be able to witness the prices going up on the Chex Mix at the airport.
That's just so grim too. Like, again, we talk about like fast food. At least in this country, the culture that we were sort of raised on was fast food is accessible because the price was lower. And now they're like, dude, the fact you could be like, I can already picture a teenage me with like, you know, $5 in my pocket. I'm like, let me get that big. Like, oh, sorry, the surge is one. That's just $6.20 now.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck? That's why I'm like, I don't know if I get it. I mean, like, we can't all be as principled consumers, but I'm sure plenty of people would be turned off by the idea that they would be like, oh yeah, and now it's one price and then now it's another just because we feel like it.
You order something at the drive-through menu and then drive forward and they're like, that actually went up 50 cents. So we're going to need you to...
Right.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, well, I don't have it.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so
where are you going to go?
Del Taco? It's like next door.
Yeah, but there's a car in front of you, bro. This is a drive-through.
Well, then I'll wait.
Yeah.
I got time, but I don't have $1.20 to fucking throw on top of this shit already.
Yeah, it seems like a terrible idea, like because people are citing fast food prices as a big reason that fast food sales are down. But if there's one thing we've learned, it's that we are in an unfair battle with these corporations, and they have the ability to raise the prices on us and will do so. And there's not a shitload that can be done other than like go elsewhere. But if everybody's raising the prices, it's bad news.
Yeah, if you have the time and ability to, then just cook at home. You know, I can make a square hamburger patty. I mean, I never really ate at Wendy's, to be honest, because there was not really one by me as a kid. So I didn't benefit from the Wendy's craze.
Have you ever tried a hamburger with salt on it? That's kind of their innovation.
Right. You like that? And it's square. I'm like, yeah, fine. I remember but then like in college, I would pass a Wendy's and every now and then I'm like, triple cheeseburger, okay. Diarrhea, you've got my attention,
you're on. So we have an update on the robocall featuring an AI clone of Joe Biden's voice. This raised a lot of red flags for people who are like, this might be the future of elections. Prompted an immediate investigation by the New Hampshire Attorney General's office. Also inspired the FCC to ban robocalls with AI-created voices using the 1991 Telephone Consumer Protection Act as justification.
Oh, good.
But so the investigation revealed who is behind these calls.
Hey.
And the answer to that is a wild story that will no doubt become an FX limited series one day, as our writer JM pointed out. Like, it really has that vibe of like...
Right.
There's so many colorful characters in this. The robocalls were traced back to a telecom company called Life Corporation based out of a strip mall in the suburbs of Dallas. And its owner, Walter Monk, is kind of less of a political operative and more like Kramer from Seinfeld.
Oh.
His LinkedIn page includes a list of his past businesses ranging from a beef jerky plant, condom machine routes, lobster trapping, a chain of nightclubs and bars, selling bait, a dating service, credit card processing center, selling pool cues.
Yep. Okay.
Just like the things that would occur to you at random, right? Like over the course of a day. But his telecom empire actually began not with politically motivated robocalls, but with singles hotline.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, imagine how differently things had been if it would have been if AI Biden simply connected New Hampshire voters with hot singles for just $1.99 per minute.
You know what's not malarkey are these hot ladies that you can talk to right now. I'm President Joe Biden, and I hope you connect with them.
Yeah.
Like, wow. If they're good enough for the president, then surely good enough for us.
But they kept digging, Miles. Mm-hmm. They were asking who hired this company.
Right.
And it was somebody connected to the campaign of Representative Dean Phillips of Minnesota, yeah. Biden's long shot Democratic primary challenger, who previously claimed that he just wanted to strengthen Biden, not demean him.
Okay.
I think he realized that maybe if he had a stronger showing in New Hampshire than people expected, he might get a little bit more media. And if he got a little bit more media, it would just enhance his ability to strengthen Biden. That's all he was looking to do. It wasn't selfish.
Like this guy who worked for Phillips' campaign just got like some hacker who's like a master of AI things, like a studio that does that kind of stuff.
He actually hired a New Orleans magician. But yeah, so basically what you
I'm sorry,
said,
like a literal New Orleans
like a literal magician from the city of New Orleans. These robocalls, like, which dominated the news cycle for days, exacerbated America's fears over AI disinformation and influenced actual government policy, were created by a New Orleans magician who holds the world record in fork bending and straitjacket escapes. And who has, so he has those records, but he has no fixed address and has never voted.
Oh, so. a true king.
Paul Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
He came forward and admitted his participation, claiming he had no malicious intent and thought that the guy who was working for Dean Phillips' campaign was working for the Biden campaign. Why he thought Biden would need an AI clone of his own voice is unclear. So Carpenter, the magician, was recently interviewed on CNN on Friday while doing card tricks and bending a fork.
I bet that was part of the deal. He's like, look, I'm not going on the news to admit my part in this scandal unless I can get a little promo for my fork bending and, you know,
just
card
a straight
tricks.
Up grinder. This guy, he was paid just $150 to create the audio he was able to do it in less than 20 minutes, only cost him $1. I have always, you know, said that I thought the audio sounded like it was created in less than 20 minutes. Like, it sounds like shit. I don't think it should have fooled anybody into thinking Joe Biden was actually on the other end of the phone talking to them, but, you know, not everybody's super tech savvy, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. Claimed he had no idea about the robocalls. it's like the guy who worked for, so Dean Phillips was like, this was a contractor who did this.
Went rogue.
He got the contractor, Kramer, the guy's last name, Steve Kramer, who is a longtime political operative on such things as Kanye's 2020 presidential campaign.
Yeah, he's a real shithouse artist.
Yeah.
Got it.
He was behind the robocalls and is backing up Phillips' story, stating that he acted independently. But he is also claiming that the robocalls were really an act of civil disobedience to call attention to the dangers of AI in politics. And really, that is like, were I wearing multiple hats, I would be taking them off to this. Just a true American legend.
Yeah. I like he compared himself to Paul Revere.
Yes. He's the Paul Revere of the AI shit.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, great. Good for you.
So that story,
magicians, fucking bullshit
New Orleans
operatives.
Magicians. I think Kramer met the magician on the streets of New Orleans at one point. Like, it's just such an amazing Like, what a tale, you know?
I know. Is he like going around looking for like flunkies? He's like, all right, I'm going to keep this guy's card because he might be useful in the future. He's got no address. If I just sit through a fork bending exhibition, I can get him to do stuff for $150.
Right. Yeah. Oof. I mean, I have met street magicians like at a bar while fairly drunk and been like, I got to keep this guy's number because I'm going to be in a jam one time and I need to I need to know this guy's phone number. So he can get
Ocean's 11 shit, man.
Because he is actually magical.
Majackal.
Majackal. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
And we're back, and we got just another update to a past story. We talked about how LA is making itself spongier by removing a bunch of concrete, and that LA was able to kind of capture a lot more water in its latest atmospheric river, aka just rainstorm. But we are dramatic. We like to
It is dramatic, the amount of water that does come in, but
yeah.
You know, it's, look, you're, see, you're, you exposed your transplant nature there. You're not from here. To us, we're like, it's an atmospheric river. And you're like, it's rain, lot of rain.
Yeah. And that is my non-LA privilege.
Yeah.
Just
have experienced seasons.
They, but yeah, so this is part of a global trend. We also mentioned Pittsburgh. Believe it or not, it goes beyond LA and Pittsburgh.
This thing's bigger than these two cities.
This thing's bigger than just LA and Pittsburgh.
It's bigger than
Portland alone since 2008 has depaved more than 33,000 square meters, 360,000 square feet, an area equivalent to nearly 4.5 football pitches.
Okay.
And this was the detail from the story that like jumped out to me. The work is joyous, says one of the people who organizes it, because it unites enthusiastic local volunteers. They get a safety briefing and then muck in together. This is, by the way, an article from the BBC, in case you're wondering why things are in football pitches and everybody's mucking in together.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, during the Great Depression, like the New Deal, like put a lot of people to work and everybody was...
Civil Conservation Corps.
Yeah. And people were excited. They were like, we're part of a bigger thing that is like making the world a better place. We're like building these highways. We're, you know, building dams that are going to like get water to people who need it. And like, I feel like that's an underrated thing that capitalism has kind of erased from the equation, is that there's, yes, this is going to be an enormous job to like fight climate change. It seems impossible right now because everything is run by this like hive mind market economy bullshit.
Right.
But like people are begging to do this work. Like people want to do it whether they get paid or not. If we can just fucking get the money flowing towards jobs that are going to save the world.
The one time capitalists are not interested in free labor.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Dude, to what? No, yeah,
I don't know about
like,
that.
Like, do they want to build some fucking oil rigs?
Right.
No. Okay. Nah, dude. Sorry. I don't know what the fuck's going on with these people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all over. I mean, like in Western Europe too. They're pointing to cities in Belgium and in the UK. And I mean, like again, like we were saying with the last story, like it's like one of the smaller ways cities are trying to basically be like, all right, we got like this is a little thing that can happen that can bring better benefits to a city, especially as, you know, we have like these boom bust cycles of like rain or drought and things like that. So
yeah, people in London are being encouraged to depave their gardens.
Yeah,
just like a little step. But yeah, you know, Belgium has like an initiative that's aimed at the suburbs, and they're removing significant volumes of asphalt from residential areas, forcing cars to share the same part of the road as pedestrians and cyclists. And like Melbourne is doing a thing that we talked about a while back, where they're trying to convert parking lots and parking spaces into green spaces, because that has a double effect of, you know, creating more spongy spaces that aren't covered in asphalt, but also making it more of a pain in the ass to like drive in the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that fewer people drive, more people take public transport. So I don't know. It's just, there is work being done. It would just be great if they were like, and we're going to turn on the money spigot. So this is like people's actual jobs. And then people got to do jobs that made them feel good and like walk around outside. And, you know, it almost makes too much sense. So
yeah,
fuck all that. We gotta get them in, plug them into the AI economy instead.
Yeah. Bit by bit though. I mean, like it's, I hope we can, this trend can last, but also like it's also up to, you know, the people that run municipalities and cities and things like that to really understand like what it all means, rather than just being like, oh man, but that parking lot, man, it helps bring people to the city center. It's like, well, no, how about you do this?
Right.
Fucking, you know, green these spaces. And like we said, like even with that story about Joe Biden, you know, pulling back on like the emissions regulations for cars, like the conversation really has to also be about like good mass transit and making sure people that people can move in a way that isn't so carbon intensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, good news. A little bit of good news. Just keep
on good news.
Depaving. If you're depaving, let us know. You know, you depaving.
Hey, more good news, Miles.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know if you watched Seth Meyers last night.
Oh fuck. I saw the clip, man. I can't stand meme Joe Biden.
Oh, they really. They're doing it, man. They're like, they've seen all the memes we've seen, and they're like, all right, now go eat an ice cream cone and like act like you're just like cool while talking about fucking Gaza.
Yeah.
And making like promises that you can't back up.
Yeah. So he went on there, I guess, because it's like a, there's like a big 10th anniversary. Is that kind of like the occasion or whatever?
I don't know. It was new... wild to like think about. So Amy Poehler was on, and it was wild to remember that like her character was obsessed with Joe Biden. Like that was part of like a lovable character on Parks and Rec was like, man, we love Joe Biden. And we love this person who loves Joe Biden for loving Joe Biden. And things have gotten a little more complicated since then.
Yeah.
I mean, Seth Meyers, like very marginally, but like actually pressed Biden on his reticence to call for a ceasefire, which led Biden to announce that Israel has agreed to pause its offensive during Ramadan, which will give us time to get all the hostages out, which seems like a pretty big announcement to casually drop on a TV show that was once hosted by Jimmy Fallon.
Dude, that was the first thing when I saw that headline. I was like, wait, where? And then he's like eating a fucking... Well, there's one part where he's on the couch talking about this, and then they go get an ice cream and he's talking about
this. Was that even part
of
the show, or was that just like a staged photo op thing?
I don't know. I mean, like, when he made the quote, he was on the couch. I saw a clip of him on the couch being like, and they're going to, you know, Ramadan, and then they'll be able to get the hostages, and then, you know, we'll see what's going on from there. But there's still, like, not a lot of agreement that we've heard from, like, the Israeli government that's like, yeah, that's happening. So you're like, well, what it, like, is this or is it not? It's just weird. You can't, like, I feel like I can't take him seriously on a talk show.
Right.
Like, that has to be said from, like, the lectern of the president for it to feel like it's more than just being like, I don't know, man, I'm underwater and I got the Michigan primary coming up and I got a lot of work to do to undo the lack of support I've created for my, you know, support of this this genocide. So, but anyway, man, Taylor Swift, huh?
Yeah,
she's on our team. And then he put the glasses on. Everything was just so it's just so fucking weird. Like the problems we're facing are so dire.
Yeah.
These people are like, they're people dying of starvation in Gaza. And you're like licking the ice cream and putting aviators on, doing real life meme shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, man. It's like the scariest shit I think I've seen, like in this weird way where we're like, nothing fucking makes sense or matters to the people that absolutely it like have to fucking be serious and have it matter to.
Yeah, no, it's, and by the way, like at the, so the ice cream thing was after the show. It's just him and Seth having an ice cream together. So it was like a photo op. And there he said the ceasefire could happen by the end of the weekend, despite the fact that Ramadan doesn't start until the following Sunday. So I don't know. It's, you'd think they'd be like careful about messaging this and like serious about messaging this, but it's
well, especially for something, right, that people are screaming out for, a ceasefire. Yes. You know what I mean? Like there are many people, when we say this constantly, who are so disturbed and distraught over what America's part is in all of this, and saying the least you can do is at least use the influence of this, of the United States, to stop the fucking assault on Gaza.
Yeah.
And then, but then I don't know. And like, you're talking like Trump, like, I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know. Yeah. There's ice cream. It's just like, oh man, it just shows how like casually I feel like the administration is taking it, especially to like, to engage the topic in such a flippant way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like, I hope it's just like, but then there's this headline from CNN. It says Israel and Hamas distance themselves from Biden's optimism on Gaza's ceasefire.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just posturing because they're still negotiating or whatever, but it's, yeah, I don't know, man. Good luck to that, man.
Yeah. We had, like, in looking at, you know, he'll say he's frustrated with Netanyahu behind the scenes, and then Netanyahu will openly be like, I can get this guy to say what I do, whatever the fuck I want him to. Like,
yeah.
we don't take them seriously. They're always going to capitulate. So we'll see, but. Fucking meme Biden, dark Brandon, cool.
Just like, don't
the meme economy.
Yeah, like, sorry, yeah, like, I know maybe you think like you're trying to get the TikTokers on your side, but like, they're people are still engaging with very serious issues, and using the language of shit posts to talk about people who are facing like the end of their lives is just a little too spooky for this podcaster.
Yeah. All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday, February 27th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show.
Yep.
Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.